Bill Barhite has been an unequivocal good element for Algorand. He was added to the board recently, and he's been on a tear. He's been on the Anthony Pompliano podcast. He's been on the Wolf of All Streets podcast, and even taking the stage at Abundance 360. That's right. That's going to be our lead story today on our Algorand news. We've got Algorand, and we've got Ondo Finance today. Some new stuff around that. Haven't covered that in a while. But new stuff popping up that I think is very interesting, including a partnership with Franklin Templeton, which I think is pretty awesome. So we're going to look at all that on today's Frugal BC chat. Very quiet. Just a reminder, we are live on YouTube. We are live on Kick and on X. I'm thinking about adding Rumble, too. Maybe there's an audience there that doesn't overlap with the other ones that might be a good opportunity. We'll see. Depending on how difficult it is, I'm waiting for Stream Element to add that as an option. But one of my favorite ways to go live on this, it's pretty neat. So lots to cover today. I know our I know the thumbnail and title are a little hyperbolic and maybe a little oversold, but kind of not really. We'll look at where Algorand is in the 7-day chart. Not so great on the daily right now, but lots of good stuff to look at. We'll look at Ondo as well. I may talk about my hyper, I don't know. I'm actually thinking maybe I won't talk about my prediction market thing anymore. I might be giving away the juice. We'll see. Lots of stuff to do. We are available as a podcast as well. In fact, I haven't checked the stats on that in a while. The biggest thing I'm excited about is I built a baseball prediction engine, and it's been making me money on a daily basis, which is kind of cool. And I was debating like making an app out of it, but actually I'm like, why should I give away my game? But I will show you the results. I don't know, maybe people want to copy trade me or something. Well, lots to get to today. We have lots of Algorand and Ondo news. So chat, very, very quiet. My usual people aren't out there today or is usually coming in. I think the time really screwed. The time change probably screwed people up, but it is working a lot better for me, so it makes sense. Why don't we just get right into the charts? Why not? So, starting out, Bitcoin at 68,000, and the common refrain I'm hearing these days is, well, it's just not doing anything. These are usually good buy periods, though. Actually, dollar cost averaging into Bitcoin. You got Ethereum above 2,000. And it's been really flirting with that $2,000 line, which is kind of interesting. BNB at about 600, XRP at 129. You know, like I said, still not quite probably a 2.5x up, I believe, from its previous lows. That's not bad. Solana under $80. That's pretty interesting. Wasn't expecting that. It's pulled back quite a bit. It was above 90 not too long ago. Tron at 31 cents. I don't really track Tron too closely. Dogecoin at 9 cents. And Unisid Leo at 10, followed by Harper Liquid at 36. I think that's always worth mentioning. How about who's the 24-hour gainers? Is EdgeX still pumping in the right direction? Yeah, that's very interesting to me. And Morpho, followed by Morpho at 6% up, Zcash at 5% up, one of the coins mentioned along with Algorand in the Google Quantum paper. Bitcoin SV at 1.7%, DEX at 1.4%. That's kind of it. We're starting to level off towards zero. So not a huge, and these are all the, honestly, from 8 to 13 are all stable coins. Which are around a dollar, you know, always around 0% because they don't pump. Not really what they're designed for. Now let's go to the 7-day up, and you'll see Algorand is there. It's at 28%, second only to EdgeX at 60, just under 67%. Bitcoin SV at 18% at number 3. Number 4, stable at 14.49, and Render at 11, just under 12% on the week. Followed by MemeCore, DEX, Morpho, Say, and Zcash. Near protocol slightly behind and still up from what we saw earlier, but $1.24, that's still under my average buy, to be honest. Pretty crazy, huh? By the way, interesting, the fear and greed index is now 33, because we were at these levels before. And the fear and greed index was actually quite a bit lower, which is kind of interesting. And altcoin season is starting to weight towards Bitcoin again. By the way, I think we saw the reason why we never had an altcoin pump. I wish I had that chart available somewhere, because the number of new coins created in the last like couple three years is just, it's like a hockey stick. I mean, it's astronomical. So you wonder where all the liquidity went. Well, that's where it all went. It all went towards these other coins. When you have too many coins, the liquidity spreads out. And I know there's some concentration amongst the top coins, but people, they kind of want to get on the next, you know, they kind of want to get on the ground floor of stuff. I don't think that's always the best option, but that's what they did. Anyway, who's down now? Who's down? So down in 24-hour, Algorand actually number... Wait. I don't know what happened there. Here we go. So Aave, number one, down at almost 11%. Not a good... I don't think Aave's really recovered from that thing that happened. Meme Core coin to the moon, says Masked Mage YT. We got a Meme Core fan in the audience. Welcome, Masked Mage. I've seen you here before. Thanks for joining us today. Avalanche down 8%. Algorand down 6%. So now it's important to put this in context. Like I said, 24 hours, it's up 28%. Right now, sitting at still over about 11.5 cents. So that's quite a bit down from the 12.5 cents that it was at, but that's quite a ways up from 8 cents not that long ago. So I got to put that stuff in context. Sometimes that is still a pretty good number for Algorand compared to where it was a week ago, even a little more than a week ago. VeChain down 5.72%, and Ondo down 5.5%. World Liberty Financial down 5.5%. Virtuals Protocol 5. Decred down 5, Chainlink down 5, even Chainlink suffering, sitting at $8.62. I hate to see Chainlink there. I don't understand why it's not a more valuable coin, but so much going on. I think Chainlink is solving actual problems, which is wonderful. The animated logo is not kind of nice too. And then Aptos down 4.76. Let's look at the weekly, who's down on the week. That is Siren. This was one that popped up because it started pumping like crazy. Popped up into the top 100. Now it is dropping back a lot. Midnight at down 18%. Uniswap down 14%. Chili's down 12%. WorldCoin down 11%. Let's see. Aave down 10.5% thereabouts. Athena, that's with an E, down 8%, almost 9%. Bitcoin, the cash, down 7.6%. Just under Aptos, 7% down on the week, and Dash down 7%. Might be interesting to look at trending. I don't know if this is really all that valuable. You can see that the average market cap has dropped a lot, as has coin market cap. Yeah, something called Bitgert is rising, as, along with Zcash. Zcash trending, and one we've heard of. Then there's something called Bulla, Nomina, Unitas, Origin, Espresso, actually Aave on the trending, but going the wrong direction. I wonder what they, I wonder what trading is. Mass Mage says, are you at an overall profit from crypto? That's a good question. The bull run portfolio I put together, about 3 years ago now, is in profit. And it's largely in profit because I took profits. If I hadn't, I don't know that I would be. So I took wins when I was up, and that helped keep my portfolio in the positive. Now it's been hovering about 60-some percent. That excludes everything in Algorand, because Algorand, I have been involved in so many DeFi things. I've gotten sponsorship payments on my Algorand wallet. It's just way too hard to sort out. So I have the Algorand part, I have no idea. I honestly have no idea whether that's in profit or not, because it's all, I actually use Algorand. So I just don't have like a wallet where I'm just holding Algorand and going whatever. So people ask, are you in profit? I'm like, on that, I have no idea. Interesting here, they have security scans on this. I didn't realize this, where they say caution, like this Unitas, they say be cautionary. Based, you got to be cautious of World Mobile Token. And other ones are like, you know, this is safe. Now, safe doesn't mean it's going to like pump or, you know, crash. It doesn't mean it's not going to crash down or something. Mass Mage asked, are you still selling Algorand? Yes, I am still trimming my position, but it doesn't mean I'm getting rid of it all. Like, it's still, I actually still got a pretty sizable bag. And last Wednesday, you know, that was a little extra money. I actually had saved weeks too. Says, I remember you saying you had too much of it a few months back and it was up recently by 40%. Yeah, I still have most of it. You know, so a lot of people saw the headline and didn't bother to listen to my full video. I'm not saying you did that. Maybe you just misremembered. But I'm only trimming about 100 algo per week. So CryptoCoinSolite, that's interesting, says algo $200. Well, that would be a high bar. I'm very cautious about making, well, first off, I just don't make price predictions anymore. I don't really see people making price predictions anymore, because I think predictions were always based on this idea of the four-year cycle, which seems to be busted. I think it was largely a product of the retail investment and the euphoria that comes when retail investors are involved. Once the institutions are involved, I think that goes away, and I think that's what we saw. That and just the sheer number of coins that were being created, and I think continue to be created, it's hard to keep liquidity high, because they all just suck. There's only so much liquidity to go around, and the more coins you have, the more they suck up that liquidity. So if you got all these coins being created, like, I mean, it's astronomical. I wish I had the chart in front of me. Mass Mage says that could happen under hyperinflation and USA currency collapse, but not under the current system. Well, that's another good point. Yeah, I don't even want to think about that scenario, because, like, yeah, your crypto will go up, but, you know, what's life going to be like depending on where you live? I'm in the U.S., so I wouldn't like to see that. Hyperinflation would not be good. It would be more like a hedge. Golden Child says, shoot $1, wishful thinking at this point. It's kind of the same as, you know, the people who are like $10,000 XRP. It's like, yeah, good luck with that. Coincidence says, I don't think there was ever a four-year cycle. It's a PMI cycle. Well, it kind of doesn't matter. I really think it was self-induced. I think we had a four-year cycle because people believed in a four-year cycle. And when you start seeing the pump, what happened before is you start seeing the pump and retail would FOMO in, and that's what would create the cycle. So you guys should really read a brief history of financial euphoria. This stuff happens all the time. The difference in crypto is it's cyclical. It wasn't just a one-time deal. There was enough, I don't know, what would you say? True belief. I don't know how you put it. There's like an ethos around crypto that it doesn't just crash and people go, well, that was over. You know, it's not like Beanie Babies, but it kind of is like Beanie Babies. It just happened multiple times. And the fact that there is real use case, you know, it's not like Beanie Babies didn't really have a use case. Crypto does have a use case. I think it's marginal compared to the size. And also something I was talking about, that's what I forgot to do. I forgot to write my newsletter today. Well, one of the things that maybe a future newsletter topic is this idea of the casino side of crypto and the utility, the technical side of crypto. And they really make some very interesting combinations. Because I think what I find is I'll talk about the technical side of crypto and someone will say, yeah, but what about price? I'm like, well, that's another consideration. And that's separate from what I'm talking about. But they're related too, but kind of not. It's very, you know, it takes a lot of parsing, I think. And on the flip side, if you talk about price, people are like, oh, all you care about is casino and not the technical side. So, like, well, I don't want to pretend that doesn't matter either. Obviously, we care about price, or we wouldn't be in crypto. either you'd be building or you'd be doing something else. So let's stop pretending we don't care about price. But I also think there's another side to it that we should care about. Andrew Costello says, Algorand a commodity and quantum proof. Yes, both true. And that's going to be part of our, it's going to be part of our Algorand news segment when we get to it. If I can stop pontificating, but I kind of enjoy it. Masked Mage says, you never know, Frugal. China is moving to become the new world power superpower, and people might change from petrodollar to petroyuan, even international currency exchange to yuan also. I don't think you're 100% wrong about that. I hope that doesn't happen, but there is some there's some risk of that happening. You know, I think China very much wants that to happen. The problem is, and I hope people are smart about this, I would rather have a democratically elected state be in charge of our the world currency than an authoritarian state. Because, you know, I hear people laud China sometimes, and in some ways they can get stuff done a lot faster because they don't have to go through the process. But also, you know, look what they did to Jack Ma. He says something they don't like, and the next thing they know, they take away all his money, you know, and reduce him to a laughingstock. I mean, it's, I don't think we want that. We don't want that. So Hakan Dexta says, Algo is dumping, bro. In the last 24 hours, yes. But overall, in the last 24 hours, or last 7 days, as we looked up, Algorand's still up like 28%. And it's at 11.5 cents, where before it was hovering around 8.5 cents. So I think that's still pretty good. And I think that, well, we'll talk about why we're pumping. But anyway, why don't we get to the... Thanks for giving me stuff to talk about, too, by the way, guys. I appreciate that. I love all the comments. You know, like I said, I only get irritated if they're disrespectful, but as long as you guys are respectful, I love the disagreement too. Whew, Mungo, by the way. So this is Haystack, and Haystack, I'm going to move. Sorry about that. Not what I wanted to do. Here we go. Look at Mungo, 95% up. 137% on the 30-day. Kind of makes me want to look at... Hold on, I'm going to pull this up off screen. Sorry, guys. I know it's going to be a little... I know you can't see me actually talking, but I want to see what my Munko bag is worth. I have a very small Munko bag, but I'm kind of excited about this. I have to scroll down. Oh, yeah, 2160. So it must have been half that before. Yeah, that's nothing. Well, nothing too much to get excited about, but hey, my Nico bag's worth $10 now. By the way, I got like a $500 bag of Nico, and it's worth like $10 or something like that. Mass Mage says normal decline is normal after a big pump, 5 to 8% normal. Hakan Dektas, do you think Algo only up season started? Not entirely sure what you're asking me there. Are you saying, I don't think there is such thing as an up only season. If you're talking about like alt season, even those aren't up only. Golden Child says, I think alts up only seasons are a thing of the past for the most part. Yeah, and I mean, it only felt like that. It wasn't, in reality, there were pullbacks. It just kind of felt, there were so many candles, big candles in a row, and we had like three or four of them this time, which is kind of nice. But we're talking like, I remember, you know, you guys, some of you guys lived through this and some of you didn't, but you know, in 2017, I remember just like every day I would check my crypto, it'd be worth way more than it was the day before. And you're like, I don't even understand this. It's so crazy. So yeah, no, 24 hour pullbacks, pretty common here across the board on Algorand assets, as you're seeing. Not much exception, except for folks finance up a little bit. But man, under a dollar, it had been really dropping. 22% on the 30-day, 20% on the 7-day. But who's doing good? I mean, obviously the Algorand one. Yeah, 25% on this chart. We had 28% on the other one. Tiny still at 40%. It was actually a 0.3 cent, which is high. 17% for Polkagold on the 7-day, 10.5% for DeFi Night. Definite. I don't know. It's a visual pun, but I never know how you should actually say these visual puns. You know what I mean? Let's see. DonkeyDAO, 34% on the 7-day. Got some of that. MyCoin, 22%. Votecoin, 24%. Where's Ludo at? Where's our buddy Ludo? That's his coin. Now, I'll tell you what, Ludo, Everyday Algonaut on here, you'll see him in the chat sometimes. He knows way more about the technical side than I do. You know, he actually builds on this stuff, so I can't really compete with that. Look at it's governance algo. KuCoin actually up almost 16%. And my Melgold's down a little bit. That's a bummer. MAlgo, I'm surprised this is still on here. I mean, I guess it's MAlgo is like 13 cents. That's very interesting, since I'm pretty sure Messina went away. And I'm not seeing anything like outstanding here on this top ticker anyway. So Haagen-Dazs says alt season X algo season as Foundation tweeted. Well, that's nice for them, but I don't think they know any more than anyone else does. Trust me. Andrew Costello says, I generally think algo will fly when Clarity Act passes. Well, we can hope so. We've had so much positive crypto news, and it's done almost nothing for crypto prices. It's kind of crazy. I mean, we did have a pretty big Bitcoin pump. I think people discount that, you know, up into the 128, I think we hit. I mean, you can't roll your eyes at that, right? And some people do, but let's see. 33 days are long in bull market. It should take around a week to max, week max to hit, to break the 16 cent level. Tusk Reaper Gaming says, I wonder if Health and Govern will start securing networks using cryptography such as Algorand and the quantum resistance. We as a society need to lock all these hack down and just prevent it. Yeah, we had a pretty big talk about it last time, so I don't want to get into the quantum thing too much, but I think Google signaling Algorand above pretty much everything else, I think that makes a big difference. Zavi Snail in the chat with a rocket emoji, thanks for being here. MassMage says, if algo is under 11 cents for 33 days, back to lower lows, charts don't lie. Isaac Newton says, not going to lie, I'm losing a lot of hope in algo. Well, like I talked about, I am trimming my Algorand position, but I'm not getting rid of it entirely. I think a lot of people misinterpreted and thought I just sold the whole thing. I did not. I still have quite a bit. I'm trying to trim it down to about 40,000 algo. It's like 41 something right now, 41,000 something. Let's see. Hackendex says, when 40,000 TPS thing. Todd Schultz says, you failed to understand the significance of Bill Barr leading the, it's actually Bill Barrheit, by the way, leading the foundation, who he is, his ties to the U.S. government, the bankers and the powers to be, learn who he is, folks. Well, it turns out we're going to talk about him today. You might have seen the thumbnail, and yeah, he's going to be a big deal. Golden Child says, I have 100,000 algo and my average buy-in is around 12 cents. I'm struggling right now with selling it and wasting all this time since last bear market for zero profits, or let her ride. Yeah, I've just been like trimming my position so I can put it into other stuff. I'm getting this message from Kick that some streamer wants to stream with me, and apparently he just wanked on his I think they meant to say cereal, but it's curse seal. Oh man, this I wish you guys could on YouTube could see these comments because they're hilarious. Golden Child, Mass Mage says, Golden Child, you risk it for a biscuit. Isaac Zune says, 100K. Also, I would die to get back to even. I don't even know where I am. Probably underwater, though. I would guess underwater. That would be my assumption based on it. Like I said, it's hard to say because I do stuff on Algorand. I've done been in so many different DeFi projects. I bought stupid NFTs that I didn't need. I've been given NFTs. I get my sponsors pay through US dollar coin on Algorand usually. So it's all mixed in there. I don't even know what's, I wouldn't even know how to, I couldn't even begin to find a P&L on that. So not even going to bother. Snavy Snail says, as someone who made the mistake of selling Doge in 2020 too early, don't be me, take it as you wish. And that's an important point, and that's why I'm only trimming my position so I can reallocate some of it. But I'm not getting rid of it entirely. By the way, I forgot to mention, Haystack, big sponsor of the channel. And you can save on trading fees. This is one of the most efficient ways to trade Algorand assets. So you see some stuff on here you want to buy, you do it through Haystack, you save yourself some money. And for assets that you're holding, they turn on auto yield. So there's auto compounding for the assets that you're not trading, that are just sitting there idle. So you kind of win either way. That's pretty good, right? You can check that out in the description below. I've got my links in there. I hope I have my links in there, don't I? I hope so. I'll have to add them in if I didn't. Let's see. Golden Child says, I'm literally wearing a hat right now that says Risky Biscuits on it. We need another paper to be released by Google. Yes, they should just release papers every day. That would help us, right? I was very surprised. Usually, we seem to be in an age where news didn't really move the price, but then all of a sudden it could. All right, let's get to our Hedera tokens, and then we can talk... We can get into the news, right? That's what we're here for, right, guys? We're going to get in the news. By the way, I always forget to say this, but if you guys have not hit the like button, I would just love you to hit that like button right now. As I always say, you don't have to smash it. You can just press it ever so gently, and it works just fine that way, too. It really helps get this channel out there, helps, especially with the live streams. It really helps, kind of get the engine running, because otherwise YouTube it has some discovery, better than most. But, you know, the discovery really happens when you hit that like button. So I appreciate that in advance. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. And let's get to Hedera tokens. HBAR down 3%. Very interesting to see Algorand overtake the price of HBAR, which it should be since there's far fewer coins. Much like fifth of the total supply. And it just should not be the same price. Algorand should be worth way more. Let's see. Sauce down. A lot of stuff down. As opposed to, I suppose Algorand's kind of the same. A lot of stuff down. Sauce almost down 3%, as is HBARX. Bonzo down 3%. XSauce down 3%. BSL down 2%. Dovu down 2.5%. PAC down 3%. Gib down 8%, almost 9%. This one is really volatile, by the way. I would say if you were if you had like a trading bot on HBAR, Gib is one of the coins you'd probably want to do. I'm going to address those comments. I see some interesting comments about the price, about charts. Grelf down 1.5%. DaVinci down 3%. Karate down 3%. You guys ever watch Karate Combat? I actually think it's a lot of fun. I like it better than the UFC. I know, like, people get mad at me when I say that. I like it better. I think it's a better product overall. It's more fun to watch. I feel like they took out a lot of the boring parts. They made it move faster. And then they pretty much eliminated it with the way the cage is set up, where it's like that weird angle. They kind of took away the clinch, which is really boring for the audience. Anyway, KBL 2.6% down, Steam down 2%. It's Link, skipping the derivative assets. Bonzo, X Bonzo down 3, Mouth down 3%, HST down 2.5. H Suite down 3.67%. Dosa up 24%. That is bucking the trend right here. MFM down 3%. Jeet down 2%. Hashtree down 3%. GC down 3%. Jam down 6.5%. Suit up 11%. Let's go Suit. Lehman, one of my favorite token designs, because I love, they got Lehman Bear, but it's a lemon head. Kind of funny. Down 7.5%. Not helping it today. Smack FM down Actually, I've been saying Smack FM, but it's just Smack M. There's no F in there. Anyway, down 3.5%, whatever it's called. HCHF, less than 1% down, holding up well comparatively. Galaxy down 3%, Centix down 3%, Dino down 3%. It's all down 3%. Pretty much across the board. Sauce Inu, I didn't even know Sauce Inu existed. They keep, every time I go here, there's new ones. Kind of interesting. X-Pack. Carrot down under 2%. There's my stick bug. I don't know what's going on with this. Link, there's a Link token, but it's only, the liquidity is only 92 cents. Volume, $1.70. Wow. I'm going to probably ignore that. Maybe that's an opportunity. I don't know. IOTA is on there too. That is our HBAR tokens. All right. I'm sure everyone hit the like button. Mass Mage says the volume is bad. Look in the 24 hours. Some are like $1. Yeah, I can see that. Sauce Inu is a legit name, LOL. Yeah, I dig it. I dig it. I like the names. I like the creativity in this space. I like the Lehman one. It's like a lemon head, but it's Lehman. I mean, they even kind of made it look like him, didn't they? Where did that go? Wait. Somehow it like does kind of look like him. It's weird. Let's see. So someone said, what's the significance of 33 specifically, says Golden Child. And Hackendex says, because Google mentioned 33 times Algo. He says, because Algorand has manipulators of the market, it's too low market cap for a few million, can swing it up or down. But for 33 days, it is hard to manipulate, but for a week, it's easy. Yeah, I'd be curious to hear more about that. Anyway, let me pull up X. Pray to God we do not get a... I'm going to close my notepad, too. All right. I guess we'll start with Algorand, I think. If you've been following Algorand lately, you know that Bill Barrhight joined the board of the Algorand Foundation, kind of part of the board's complete revamp, and he is making a huge difference, bringing Algorand in front of the Wolf of All Streets podcast audience, the Anthony Pompliano podcast, and Abundance 360. Here's Bill Barrhight speaking at Abundance 360. All right, this is from the Algorand Foundation at Abundance 360, which is, they talk about, a private community for leaders who dare to go big, create wealth, and better the world. Now, I don't know. I've been trying to get some word on this, whether the Abundance 360 has to do with the Abundance Movement or if it just happens to have the same name. But here's Bill Barrhight. We're going to speed it up a little bit. And let's hear what he has to say. He's talking with CEO Stacey Warden, everyone's favorite, about the future of finance. Let's see what he has to say.
I actually wanted to facilitate remittances, right? ABRA was supposed to be a better remittance app. And this was pre-Ethereum. We tried to create a stable coin out of Bitcoin.
And the Philippines, I remember.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. And so it's still my personal mission is to think about building, you know, the banking system that the people own. And it feels like that's very much rooted in Algorand's mission and your personal mission. And can you give us a sense of like how this stuff is really being used when we get outside of our little bubble?
Yeah. I mean, it's always struck me that you can send a movie from Nigeria to Malaysia in a minute over WhatsApp. A movie. But if you want to send $10 from Nigeria to Malaysia, you've got to travel through the correspondent banking system. It arrives 7 days later or wow. not, or not. Wow. And somebody takes, you know, 5 to 7% off the top. Like, right. Why is that? Right? And, you know, stablecoins, US dollar stablecoins, of course, part of the answer to that story, but not every country, you know, uses a dollar, of course, right? And, you know, there's two kinds of money. One is this liability money that banks use, where they have to reconcile every night, and there's batch files that go across, you know, at night, and you reconcile. And the other kind of money is cash. And cash is a bearer instrument. When it's mine, and if I hand it to you, it's yours. And the thing about crypto, and if you understand this about crypto, you understand 90% of it, is that crypto is cash. It's digital cash. When I hand you a Bitcoin, that Bitcoin is yours and it is no longer mine. There's no reconciliation that has to happen. And in fact, the money doesn't even move. It's just a ledger that's being updated. And if there's one ledger being updated, you better make sure one person isn't in control of that ledger. So that's why you want your blockchain to be very decentralized, right?
And I get that. And I understand that like the token is used to secure the network. But otherwise, like, there's always part of me that thinks like, well, why do you really need the token? Can you just run US dollar coin over the network? And I get the whole idea that the token is to help incentivize people to secure the network, which the foundation finally figured out like a year ago and was like, yeah, we better incentivize people running nodes because nobody's running nodes. Now they're doing that, and they're also staking through Ready Pool, which is what I do with my Algorand. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think the problem is, though, I think people over-index. You used to hear stuff like people would be like, oh, I'm going to think about things in their Algorand price. It's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. Can you imagine a world where some people are thinking in things of, they're thinking of price in terms of Aave, some are thinking Solana, some are thinking Algorand. It's just completely unrealistic. So I think US dollar coin is probably the best invention that crypto has had, because that's just what's going to be. You know, if you're in Europe, it's going to be the EURD or whatever. Here, it's going to be the USDC. Algorand has its own version of it, and it's super fast. Who is he, says Sheriffus? Well, we are talking about that right now. We're talking about Bill Barhite. He's on stage right now. That's the he. Crypto is digital cash, absolutely. But I think the real digital cash is US dollar coin, not Algorand. Sorry, I'm going to say it. I think it's true.
Right? And so if I can use an example that's not US dollar based, when we withdrew from Afghanistan and the Taliban came back in, the United States government, Bank Secrecy Act type stuff, said no more financial dealings with Afghanistan, no more financial dealings with the Taliban. Well, UNHCR, the World Food Program, all of these NGOs, all of these humanitarian agencies were like, well, we're giving money to, you know, worthy women and children, and we are, you know, keeping people alive in this country. And so
This is the thing when people talk about crypto and they say, well, there's no real use case. It's like, well, in the US, we have a banking system where most people can participate. And I know there's edge cases. I know there's a certain percentage that, you know, they can't get banked for whatever reason. But you go to like Africa, you go to Afghanistan, you go around the world. There's places that like they don't even think about banks. There's no banks. And like Afghanistan, you know, Hesab Pay through Algorand is helping women who probably can't go to this bank and get an account because of, you know, the Taliban rule. They can do this right on their phone. It's way harder to stop. They can go pay their bills, you know. You and I don't have to worry about that. We can send a credit card, or we can pay the credit card, or we can pay a Stripe or PayPal or whatever. But in Afghanistan, having a decentralized network that the Taliban can't stop, kind of a big deal, right? So, I mean, I think sometimes, if you're in the U.S., you think from a U.S. perspective and you think, well, what's useful for me? And I get that. I think that way, too, sometimes. But then I think about all the use cases outside the country where, hey, there's actual real utility going on there with crypto. You can't forget about that.
Challenge at the time was how to get money into this country and not get the money to the Taliban. So a bunch of fintechs said, oh, you know, trust us, we can do this. And the founder of a company called Hesab Pay said, don't trust me, because I'm going to do this on the blockchain. You can look at the blockchain, and you can know, and you can match those wallet addresses to your list of recipients, and you can know if I'm sending the money to the right place. So we have about 1 million wallets in Afghanistan are built on Algorand rails. This is, you know, 20 million transactions. This is not a pilot. This is one third of all the electricity payments in Afghanistan right now.
Wow.
Right? You know, and it's not just the speed of it, and it's not just the ability to trace the transactions. It's also safety, right? Like, you are lining up in a very undignified way outside of an aid agency to get your money. The line is going around the corner. Well, if you're a bad actor, a robber, you're like, oh, who am I going to rob now? Who am I going to follow home? Maybe that woman who's been standing in line for the last hour, where I know she's going to get her humanitarian assistance payment. But now she can be in the, you know, and women are not allowed to sort of roam the streets now in Afghanistan. In her own home, she can get in a very dignified way on her smartphone, on her dumb phone, or on a card, get her humanitarian aid payment, and make her electricity payment or other kind of payments that she needs to make, all digitally and all instantaneously, and in a way where the funders of UNHCR, the World Food Program, or the World Bank can see that that money is going to the place that it was intended to go to.
Yeah.
So it's a game changer in that country.
True.
Now we're rolling out in Syria, same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's great. Okay, so we didn't really have Bill Barhart talking here, but he's the one interviewing her, and I think his name carries a lot of weight. So who is Bill Barr? He is the CEO of Abra, the founder of AbraFi, and not following a lot of people, by the way. And he's he doesn't put it on here, and I think he should, but he's on the board of the Algorand Foundation. Great get. And he's not the only thing he did. I think there was... So here's Bill Barhart on the Wolf of All Wall Streets. Oh, I'm sorry, the Wolf of All Streets podcast. He was recently on Anthony Pompliano, too. We got a short little clip of him on the Wolf of All Streets. I highly recommend checking out this episode. There's a lot of good, a lot of very interesting stuff in that episode.
And it leads to the AI narrative, which is a wallet for every agent. You know, I can tell you from an Algorand perspective, you know, it's number one topic that everybody wants to talk about is the whole concept of a wallet for every agent.
Yeah.
And I've adopted this mantra of fast and final to explain, okay, well, there's 10 different ways to do that in crypto. And what an agent wants is fast and final, right? It doesn't want rollbacks. It doesn't want chargebacks. It doesn't want 1 hour settlement. It's just, you know, it doesn't want your crappy dollar losing 10% of its value a year. And so it doesn't care. It's just computer, you know, and it leads to the AI.
It's just computer. Sounds a little Trumpian there, but yeah, I think he's spot on. It's awesome that he's mentioning Algorand on Wolf of All Streets. I haven't yet heard Algorand mentioned on Wolf of All Streets. I don't listen to every episode. I pick one a week maybe that I listen to. I should probably listen to more of them because they are pretty good. So I haven't heard, I've heard Stacey Worden was actually on Wolf of All Streets a while back. So what Coop had said when I tweeted something about that. But, you know, a lot of people have been talking about agentic payment. And I think this is it. Agentic payment is going to be a huge use case for Algorand. And it's not the only one. It's a competitive space, but keep an eye out for that. Let's see. Hackendack was asking if Algo will uncap max supply. Doesn't look like it. It looks like they're going to increase fees, but I don't think they're going to. Oh, sorry, that was a little low, huh? I don't think they're going to uncap supply. So Mark Vandenberg in the last community call had mentioned the the Project King Safety paper, which is supposed to lay out the future of sustainability for Algorand. And he talked about the fees, but he did not talk about raising uncapping supply. I think that'll be very unpopular. I don't think it'll get through. So I wouldn't hold my breath on that, which is good because I think most people don't want that. This one is interesting. Algo has entered the chat. OnePay crypto customers can now buy and sell Algo in the app. So what is OnePay? It's the all-in-one financial platform trusted by millions of consumers to make money better. OnePay is not a bank. Banking services provided by bank partners. Now, this is one more. Now, I don't know how big this is. That's not a huge follower count. It's a little more than mine. But I don't know. Is it a big deal? I'm not sure how to put that in context, but it is interesting. So one more thing that Algorand is added to the conversation. And this is just a nice little reminder. In 2025, Google announced its Agent Payments Protocol, the infrastructure layer for the next generation of AI-powered commerce. Amongst the few blockchain partners selected was Algorand. Tech doesn't matter until the world's biggest tech companies say so. I'm going to pull this up. I know it's going to be hard to see. Here we go. We got most of it. You might notice there's Algorand. Otherwise, Binance is on there. Block is on there. Looking for other... I'm seeing a lot of crypto companies, but I don't see a lot of other blockchains. ZoroQ60 says pumping or pumpkin. Good one. I'm not mad. Oh, Ethereum Foundation is on there too, so there's one. Just looking for other. Oh, Mistin Labs, that's Swee, so they're on there. So there's a few on there. There's a couple. Mega ETH. That's a little bit surprising. Mega ETH. I don't know much about it, so I don't know. Maybe it's awesome. Polygon, too. Interesting. Yeah, so there's a few on there, but, you know, Algorand amongst the few blockchain partners that were added. So good for Algorand. Let's go back to, there we go. Now, I thought this was interesting. Grayscale researchers' analysis of the Google Quantum AI paper suggests breakthroughs may come in sudden leaps, not gradual steps. That means preparation can't be delayed. The good news, post-quantum cryptography already exists. Some chains like Sol and XRP Ledger are experimenting. The path forward is technically clear. How do you not mention Algorand? You say Sol and XRP Ledger are experimenting. Algorand's been on top of this. It's crazy. I really don't understand how they can put something out like this and mention Solana and XRP, which have barely scratched the surface, whereas Algorand's leading the charge, mentioned more times than any other blockchain in the paper besides Bitcoin and Ethereum. And that's because they were behind and they were vulnerable is what they were talking about with those. So say what you want. I mean, look, and I get it. I know that not everyone cares about Algorand, but when it's in the paper as like the number one chain working on this, how do you not mention it? Big L from Grayscale. And I thought it was really important to point this out because it irritates the heck out of me. Well, anyway. I thought this was kind of neat, too. Just because Eazy-A had done a ton of stuff for the Algorand space. They've been holding these hackathons to bring people in, start building on the chain. They did two big ones. And, like, they packed the room. These guys are, like, they're out there. They're up there, man. They're really doing the work. Anyway, Eazy-A Kickstarter is the launchpad designed to let you back the next world-changing ideas from day one. Brought to you by Eazy-A, the team that built an ecosystem valued at over $12 billion and been backed by A16 and Y Combinator. So I don't know. You know, this could be a risky thing. I get it. I thought it was worth checking out just because, like I said, this could end up bringing some investment into Algorand founders along with other blockchain stuff. Kind of cool that they have that out there, though, and I hope some Algorand projects take advantage of that. And then I thought this was interesting. On April 7th, key leaders in blockchain are gathering at Washington, D.C. for the Stablecoin Privacy Summit. Our senior director of integrations, let's bring that up a little more. Our senior director of integrations and developer tooling, Silent Rhetoric, who is Brian Whippo, by the way, but mutual followers too, important to point out. He is the senior director of integrations and dev tooling. We said that already. Will be in the room representing Algorand. Privacy isn't coming to Algorand. It's already here. Algorand engineers already built the privacy stack. Algo Planck brings ZK proofs on chain. Hermes Vault enables private transactions, both live, both open source. Affinity Martial Arts is really interesting. Thank you, Frugal BC. I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate it. Let's see. And I thought this was just a nice reminder. This section from Google's white paper is incredibly telling because, yes, Google gets it. Out of all 30 chains with native USD support, Algorand is currently the most advanced when it comes to quantum readiness. Now, remember, they were mentioned like 30-some times. I think 37 times or something, 32 times in here. Way more than any other chain. Because they're quantum ready. It's pretty cool. I thought this was funny, too. Ethereum Daily points out Solana just stress-tested post-quantum signatures on its testnet with Project 11. And the results are sobering. Signatures became 20 to 640x larger. Network performance dropped by 90%. Now, he laughs. He says better on Algorand, already live and efficient. Actually, right now, this is important to point out. So the history, the Algorand history right now is quantum proof. And Algorand does have quantum proof transactions available in their work that you can use them. However, most people aren't going to use them because they're immensely slower than regular transactions, and speed is like part of its huge upside. So I don't think that's as great as everyone. He doesn't quite get it. I might have to tweet him. And then we have some people have been asking about Fiat Chain. I've been wondering about that too on Algorand. What's going on with Fiat Chain? Now, this is Silvio Macaulay, the founder of Algorand. He had started a Fiat Chain because he said they thought the layers, people weren't ready. Some companies weren't ready for crypto, so they needed a layer between them and crypto. This is it. Fiat Chain update. Not sure where to glean this, but interesting hearing people's opinions. Timeline of Fiat Chain MVP is in line with ECB's expected timeline for DLT legislation. Well, that's a mouthful. Maybe this is like a little more telling. Let's pull this up. Might have to go to the larger. Fiat Chain in sum, public chain with unique capability of starting private and becoming public, independent layer one, else it would inherit institutional weakness. Crypto-less consensus, uncapped security, sovereignty, and compliance. Quantum resistant from day one. Institutional throughput. It's not how you spell throughput, but sure. 20,000 payments per second. That's a lot. Market integrity. Trading with open order book Dutch auctions. Immediate settlement. Bond settlement from minutes to seconds. And fast upgradability, continual, consensual, and seamless evolution. And as part of that, minimum viable pro product to be completed in quarter two 2026. So in case you're wondering when it's coming, right there is where it is. Hackindex says Algorand greater than Grayscale. Savvy Snail giving a thumbs up on that. Well, they better wise up is all I'm saying. The higher the chain's tech, the higher the value of its digital assets. I still feel like I don't understand this. I'll be 100% honest. There's a lot. It's just a lot there to try to get your brain around. But that's what's going on with Algorand founder Silvio Macaulay's Fiat Chain coming up. Grayscale saying Robinhood and Grayscale both don't like Algo because they can't control and manipulate it. Well, okay, here's the thing with Robinhood, and I've said this like a billion times at this point, I think. Here's the thing with Robinhood. They list coins when they get a certain threshold of wish lists. So if more people wish list it, it might get listed. Now, Grayscale, I mean, they're making choices based on whatever choice they got to make. But I think it's probably foolish if you're concerned about quantum to not be thinking about Algorand. Algorand basically is the quantum-proof chain. So that's all for our Algorand segment. I have Hedera coming up next. And by the way, thanks everyone for watching. If you have not hit that like button already, please do so. It helps get the live stream out to more people. As I always say, now you don't have to smash it. Smashing not necessary. Just press it ever so gently. Works just fine that way too. But hey, if you want to smash, you smash it, you know? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying you don't have to. Everyone's always like, oh, smash the button. Yeah, just press it. Give it a little poke. Might get you in trouble. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, let's burn through this. Ondo. Did I say Hedera? I meant Ondo. We got Ondo today. Got any Ondo fans in the chat? Any Ondo fans? Let's get some love for Ondo, huh? Don't like Ondo? Let me know that too. Actually, I'm going to start with this. Yeah, we'll start there. Make sure we got that, yeah. Ondo Finance has been leading the charge on real-world tokenization. And apparently Franklin Templeton now recognizes that because we've got a new partnership between Ondo Finance and Franklin Templeton. And we're going to look at this today on our Ondo segment. We're excited to announce Ondo has partnered with Franklin Templeton, FTDA US, one of the world's largest asset managers with $1.7 trillion in assets under management. Together, we're bringing exposure to Franklin Templeton managed investment products on chain through Ondo Global Markets. I think that's pretty cool. We've actually got a little segment here. While first and foremost, let me just get my sound on here.
Well, first and foremost, is this financial advice?
This is not financial advice.
This is not financial advice.
Next question. Name one overhyped and underhyped crypto narrative.
Ooh.
Overhyped crypto narrative. Crypto is dead.
Oh, good answer.
Every time there's a market pullback, crypto is dead. This is the end of it. Never happens. Crypto's going to be around long after any of us are.
Heck yeah. Those guys look like they work at Franklin Templeton, don't they? I mean, hey, I'm not hating. These guys are awesome because they're all on board with crypto, but pretty interesting anyway, right?
Underhyped? TradFi coming into crypto is going to make crypto better.
Spicy. Very spicy.
Yeah, overhyped. I struggle with that one because I think fundamentally crypto is still very much underhyped.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it doesn't, the true innovation that it represents, people have not appreciated at all just yet.
Well, first and foremost, is this financial?
Absolutely. Oh, actually, these guys don't. They're Sandy Call, head of innovation, and Ian Bode, Ondo Finance, state their case for Franklin Templeton Digital Assets team at Blockworks. Very interesting. Oh, so this was, she worked at Franklin Templeton. By the way, Everyday Algonaut saying everybody click the like button to support the frugal stream. I appreciate that. Whether you're watching on the stream, whether you're watching our clip, or even if you're listening, well, actually, you know, if you're listening on podcast, but definitely hit that like button. I appreciate it. Anyway, Ondo Finance says, for years, this industry was written off. Now the world's largest financial institutions are going all in on tokenization. That's a big deal. Franklin Templeton, that's a big company. I'm a huge Ben Franklin fan myself, so I'm kind of partial to them. And anyway, but I think that's really awesome. One more great win for Ondo. Speaking of TradFi, the CEO of the world's largest bank, this is Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan. It's called tokenization a competitive threat. Ooh. In his 2026 annual shareholder letter, Jamie Dimon identified tokenization as one of the forces redefining competition in financial services. A whole new set of competitors is emerging based on blockchain, which includes stablecoins, smart contracts, and other forms of tokenization. JP Morgan Chase generated $185 billion in revenue last year and moves nearly $12 trillion daily. That's a lot. I move a little bit less than that. Jamie Dimon's response to the rise of tokenization: we need to roll out our own blockchain technology and continually focus on what our customers want in a very detailed way. Tokenization is now on the agenda of every major financial institution. That seems to be the case. Like we said we had Franklin Templeton getting in on the action, which is pretty cool. And then we have Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan and Chase. JP Morgan Chase. I forgot Chase is in there saying they're getting in on the action too, right? Now here's the thing. He says they're going to roll out their own blockchain technology. I don't think they're developing a blockchain in-house. I'd be surprised if they did that. It's just no reason to reinvent the wheel when they can just, you know, bring on a partner. It makes way more sense. Maybe I'm wrong. I kind of don't think so, though. Very interesting news, though. So, you know, keep an eye out. We'll see what JP Morgan's doing. Now, the important thing to remember is whenever you see these guys talk, They're doing so for a reason. They're usually talking their book. They don't just come out and say things for the fun of it or for the good of humanity. They usually have some kind of purpose. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt. We got more stuff. PancakeSwap says tokenize everything. 260 plus RWAs are now live on PancakeSwap stocks, ETFs, bonds, and more across multiple sectors. TradFi assets, Rails, powered by Ondo Finance on BNB chain. So Ondo Finance partnering with PancakeSwap. I didn't know about that. Kind of like the color of that phone, by the way. Totally random. Looks like my phone, but different color. Anyway, that's what's going on with PancakeSwap. I didn't know they had partnered with Ondos, so that's pretty neat. Meanwhile, Ondo says tokenization is winning. 5-year growth per token terminal. Stablecoins up 430%. Tokenized funds up 51,609%. Tokenized commodities, 3,287% up. Tokenized stocks up 6,056%. 56,252%. That's a mouthful. Now, here's the thing to remember. 5 years ago, that's like the very beginning. So I want to say these numbers maybe look a little more impressive than they actually are. But I mean, we're starting from nothing. It's going to look like a huge percentage. But we are seeing 5 years ago. It's also important to keep in mind, 5 years ago, this stuff didn't exist, right? Like, it was barely, people were barely thinking about it. And now here it is. I think that's a big deal. So let's keep going through. I mean, the charts look nice, though. Yeah, I think RWA is still a pretty important narrative. But you have to be careful with this stuff. Like I said, I've tried some of the real estate platforms. I don't think they worked very well. I don't think they're great. Let's see. We talked about Franklin Templeton. Now, here's a very interesting new milestone, $3 billion in TVL from tokenized treasuries to the world's largest platform. Hold on, let me go. OK. The world's largest platform for on-chain stocks and ETFs, OUSG and USDY, showed U.S. Treasury exposure could scale on-chain. That foundation now extends into equities. Ondo Global Markets bought tokenized stocks and ETFs on-chain, expanding access to the world's most in-demand assets. Since launch, Ondo's tokenized stocks have grown rapidly, reached $700 million in TVL, 250-plus tokenized stocks and ETFs, $14 billion in cumulative trading. With more integrations than any other tokenized treasury, stocks, or ETFs, Ondo tokenized assets are making markets accessible to billions by laying the groundwork for trillions to come on-chain. Yeah, you really can't, you just can't argue with that. That's a nice little chart there. I mean, you just can't argue with that growth. It's really coming up. Let's see here. And this one I thought was interesting. AI back in the spotlight. The 5 tokenized AI stocks drawing attention on Ondo Global Markets this week. AMD, Micron, NVIDIA, Broadcom, and Taiwan Semiconductor. So I know it's a little off the Ondo path, but I've been an investor in NVIDIA for a while. It's done very well for me. I wish I had done bigger amounts, but I didn't. But hey, can't argue with that. And, you know, it probably would be a lot easier just get it on Ondo Finance, but it also makes it available to the world where it's not as easy. So anyway, I think real world assets are going to be really important. I really do. And Ondo is leading the way on it. I think they've just got, I really think that differentiation is going to be very important for crypto and for chains. I think being the everything chain is going to be tough. And Ondo is definitely owning the RWA. They are focused on RWA. That's their thing. And they're making the partnerships. This partnership with Franklin Templeton is awesome. Great idea. And I think you should pay attention to it. Now, the price hasn't been great. I get it. Mostly we talk about the technology here. It's not necessarily a price prediction or supposed to be intended on a signal to price. That's a different thing. And, you know, we have to separate the casino from the technology sometimes. But I definitely think it's a project that's going to have a place in the modern ecosystem and the crypto build-out. So definitely pay attention to it. All right, we got some non-Ondo ones that I saved. I do appreciate Everyday Algonaut saying everybody click the like button to support the Frugal Stream. You should definitely do that. I think that's a good idea. Actually, Jamie Dimon is trending right now. Hagendex says Alex.Frinst@Algo became the community manager at the foundation. That's interesting. So I wonder if MJ is not doing that anymore. That's kind of too bad. I liked him, but yeah, Alex, he's pretty bullish dude. Definitely good to have a bullish one. Sure. Yeah. Well, I think he's, he's very dedicated. He's absolutely dedicated. And we cite him a lot on this show. Baylor Bear says, with active yield being the yield agreed upon in the Clarity build, will we see coins like Solana being utilized? Yeah, I think a lot of blockchains would be capable of doing that. I'm only marginally keeping up with the Clarity bill. It's changing so much on a day-to-day basis. I'm kind of waiting till it actually passes to really dive into what it's going to mean. Because I just, right now, it's like I said, it seems to change on a daily basis. Everyday Algonet says, do you think Trump will bond Iran public infrastructure tonight? Man, I am not a geopolitical expert, so I have no idea. I don't know what to. One thing about Trump is you don't know what to expect. You really don't. Anything could happen. I mean, who knows, right? It's I'm seeing a lot of people come with very different views of Trump than they had a year ago. That's what I'll say for sure. Good time to buy. I'm definitely buying stocks right now. I'm definitely adding to my index fund bag. Because the markets are down right now, and once there's some stability in that chair, say 4 years, 3 years down the line, I think you'll see a very different, stocks will stabilize and they'll start growing again. Maybe they'll grow anyway. I don't know. Hard to say. Well, anyway, thanks everyone for tuning in. I think we had a fun show. I don't want to get into politics. Savvy Snail says buy seeds. Well, it never hurts. Actually, I didn't do any gardening last year, but my girlfriend's going to be moving in. So she might, she'll probably do some gardening. Everything will be more expensive a year from now. Yeah. And I've been, I just want to show you So I've been doing this little experiment. I built a... Actually, maybe I'll put it on... Let's see, will this one show up good? No, got to do this one. I built a baseball prediction engine, and I started it right about here. This is my first one. And I've been slowly making money with it. So I built it in Codex. It tells me the price that I should expect versus the price I actually get. That's actually on the prediction market. So are you guys following Alpha Arcade? So my baseball prediction engine will give me the expected price. So it'll say Kansas City 58 cents, and here I see it's only 45 cents, and then I buy it. And basically what happens, I've been doing three every day. And what I find is if I win all three, I win a bunch of money. If I win two to three, I tend to make a moderate amount of money. One of three is kind of like break even, maybe a little bit down. And only if all three lose, which has never happened yet, I'm sure it will at some point. Only if all three lose do I lose money, other than a few cents. It's kind of crazy. So anyway... Some people, I actually met with a business owner. He's a huge YouTuber, insane level YouTuber who happens to live in my city, and we've become friends. And he told me I should make an app out of this. But to me, it would destroy my edge. I think I'll make more money just with the edge than I would with making an app. But I do have an idea I've had some ideas for apps over the years. I think I probably will have an app at some point. And, Codex is amazing. You can just build stuff. It's wild. I usually use ChatGPT, and I tell it what I want it to build, and then I tell it to write the prompt that I can put into Codex, and then it creates my app. And then I've actually fixed it. So instead of having to call the folder and do all this in terminal, I just have to type run-baseball and then it runs it every day. Pretty neat. Savvy Snail says it's like a custom separate personal parlay. I do that as well. Awesome. It seems like it can't lose. I mean, it has to lose at some point, but overall, like, you see my P&L, what happened. And I had some other strategies I was trying out, but this is like actually worked. The reason I think it works for baseball is because it's very statistical. I think there's a lot of statistical correlation that you can draw. So I pull in APIs from these other like betting sites. It's kind of wild. Anyway, I guess that's all I have today. I thought that was kind of fun, but I just wanted to share a little bit about that. I've been talking more about it on my membership page. So if you guys want to become channel members, you can do that by hitting the join button. You can see I've shared my portfolio review every week. I share all my crypto experiments and how they're going. And I'm going to talk about this one more too, and maybe go into more details. So if you guys are interested in that, definitely join my, become a channel member. Like, you can get videos before anyone else for like $1 a month. That's pretty cheap. And then it's $4 for the special videos once a week. So anyway, thanks so much. I appreciate everyone tuning in. I hope you guys are doing well out there. We'll be back Friday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time.